Book of Acts, chapter number 16. We're going to read beginning in verse 6 this evening and read down through verse number 15. Book of Acts, chapter number 16 and beginning in verse number 6. It says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they assailed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. Father, thank you that we can have this, your precious word. Lord, you have so made it possible for us to have this written word. And Lord, we thank you for it. We pray tonight that as we preach, that you would be glorified. You have said that there's power in preaching. Lord, because not of the preacher, not of our ability, but Lord, because of the power of the word. And so we pray tonight that you might bless and work in our hearts. Speak to us in a wonderful way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated and thank you. We find that the Apostle Paul and the company that was with him were very attentive to the leadership of the Spirit of God. In the ministry, it is essential that we follow his leadership. It is a must that we allow God to lead us. Now, there's something interesting about the leadership of the Spirit of God, and that is that He will lead us according to the Word of God, and then He will use those who are over us. For instance, as we looked at last week in the home, God has placed a parent there, and children are to what? Obey their parents in the Lord. For this is right. And so there is leadership that is granted from those who are in authority over us. And so God leads in these things in our lives. We find that the Apostle Paul and those with him, evidently, they were desirous to go to an area called Bithynia. Now, Bithynia is at the southern edge of the Black Sea. From where they were at, it was a travel northward. However, we find that the Spirit of God changed their course. Instead of going northward and then probably eastward, we find that they head west. Now, that's an interesting scenario, for right here may be the difference between us sitting in this church house tonight and sending missionaries abroad as those who in perhaps China and the Eastern nations sending the gospel to us in this locality. Right here may be the difference. As the Spirit of God, as Paul wanted to go north and then east, took them to the west. And the gospel from there, by the way, proceeded to go across Europe. And what we look at here tonight is a tremendous development. The first stop of interest is in the city of Philippi. Later we find one of the great books of the Bible, to the Philippian people, is written. And here we find that as they stop in Philippi, evidently they're looking at a group of Jewish people who are gathering together for prayer. And so they find him at a prayer meeting by a river. Now, many believe that the Jews were adept at building synagogues near water because of their cleansing practices. And so very likely or very problematically, they were there at a synagogue. But whether it was in a building or not is really, that's not what the matter is. What really is the matter is that Paul and those with him sought out some Jewish folk and attend a prayer meeting. I want you to think about that. Their first meeting is with a group of people who are having prayer together. And in this prayer meeting, a woman gets saved. Now think about that. Here's a group of people who are gathered together for prayer. Most likely they're Jewish. Whether she's a Jew or a proselyte, we do not know. But they have gathered together for a time of prayer. And as a result of that prayer meeting, there is a woman that gets saved. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 13, something that I find very important. It says, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was, notice that word, wont. Not won't, but wont. W-O-N-T, to be made. Now, that's an interesting word. It means to be accustomed to. In other words, where prayer was, they were accustomed to doing it. It's referring to that which is habitual. So here's a place that people met at to pray together. Whether it's by the bank of the river and they're in the open air, whether there's a roof over the head, is not the significant thing. They met together in a specific time, in a specific place, for a time of prayer. And as a result of that, we find a woman gets saved. This woman, Lydia, a seller of purple. Now notice something else. It's amazing to me what God does as He brings people together. And that is, when people get together for prayer, there are folks who get saved. When folks get serious with God and get serious about spending more time allowing the Spirit of God to direct in our prayer meetings, we find God doing some things in the life of individuals. I made the comment this morning, and I found it to be very true. We have had, in the last year and a half, 2 years, prayer meetings very regularly in our church. And many of you folks have attended those prayer meetings. What I have noticed is this. The majority, by and large, I mean majority, I'm not talking about 50% or more, I'm talking 75 to 90% and sometimes perhaps more, of those who walk the aisle to get some things right with God have been in prayer meetings. They have attending, and God has worked in their hearts as a result of being involved in corporate prayer, being involved with other Christians in this business of praying. They have given themselves to that, and God has worked in their lives. And I believe we would see more of the working of God if we would allow ourselves this wonderful privilege of meeting together for prayer. Matter of fact, if you go down to verse 16, you'll find another truth, or the same truth. It says, it came to pass as we went to prayer. As they were heading to prayer, we find now a woman who's demon-possessed meets them. As a result of the circumstances involved around about that, we find a jailer in the city of Philippi also gets saved. But notice both of them are concerned with and centered around this prayer meeting time. Prayer meetings are an investment of time and great effort. They're not easy to do. They are that which we sacrifice personal time and pleasures, may I say, for the cause of God. David came upon the scene. And here was Goliath taunting the armies of Israel. And all the armies of Israel stood in trembling and fear. And as David beheld that and began to understand what was taking place, and he begins to say, listen, I can take care of this thing. He's but a strapling of a lad. But he's not scared because he's seen God do some things in his own life. His one brother says, why don't you just go back home? Why don't you just, you know, you're just up here because you're nosy. And David made this remark. He said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Now that's a great, great question. Is there not a cause? There is a cause tonight of reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a cause. There's a need tonight, and that is that we reach this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that if we are going to successfully do that, it must be as you and I are prepare ourselves in the closet of prayer and in that corporate time of prayer as well. We need that particular thing. We need to know, hey, God is in the midst. God is working. Now, here's a woman that gets saved. Something interesting about her, she's from Thyatira. If you were to look on a map and draw the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, you would find it goes in a great big circle. You would find him headed north and almost gets up into Bithynia, near the Black Sea, heads westward, gets into Philippi, comes southward a little bit, comes down a southern route, and heads back to Antioch. And you find this great big circle. There are many towns in the midst of that they do not ever go into. One of those towns is centered right almost. I mean, if you were to draw a hub and have the center of that go into that kind of a circle, it's more like an elliptical circle, you would find Thyatira is right in the midst of that. This woman wasn't even from Europe. She's on the soil of Europe. She's really basically a person from the continent of Asia, and yet she's the first convert in the continent of Europe. And she is one not even from there. I look at that and I think of this. God has scheduled some divine appointments. God has for you and me some appointments with people. God brings circumstances about to get us into position to meet with certain individuals. And as a result of being willing to go to this prayer meeting, the Apostle Paul, those with him, are able to speak to these women, and this woman gets saved. You know, we have no idea what God intends to take place when we get serious about being in our place of prayer. We have no idea what God might be going to do and what He might be wanting to accomplish in your life and in mine. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that we will be faithful to preaching meetings. We love to be involved in fellowship meetings and getting together with God's people. Nothing wrong with that, and we need that. But you realize tonight that many of God's people look at prayer meetings as an extracurricular activity, not essential to the faithfulness to God. May I say to you tonight, you're wrong. You are absolutely, positively wrong if that be your thought. For they are essential. The Jew understood that as they met week after week in the synagogue, that they might pray one with another. God's people through the years have recognized that as they have met for special times of prayer and seeking after the face of God. But Christians in modern America, in our 21st century, seem to think, no, what we need is better marketing programs. You know, today, I get on the average of 1 to 2, I was going to say a week, probably more like 1 to 2, maybe 3 a month, advertisements of conferences wanting me as a pastor to come and to learn how to reach the masses for the Lord. All they are is simply marketing tools. It is nothing different than what they are teaching to those in the corporate world. Do you realize that Christianity isn't about marketing? It's about the Spirit of God moving upon hearts. It's about God using you and me for the privilege of sharing the gospel and allowing Him to work through us. That is what God wants. Well, as a result of the attendance of these women, along with the Apostle Paul and his companions, there is a woman who gets saved. Now, that's glorious. Here's a woman who comes from Thyatira. Here's a woman who, she is a person who's selling purple. Thyatira was known for its dye, and especially the purple dye. And so as the cloth would be brought there, there were many who would dye that cloth, and she was one who then would buy some of that and take it to another area. Now, she evidently was very successful, for we find that she has a house in Philippi. And she has brought her wares there and is selling them. I got to thinking about this, and I thought Mark Gray would have been so happy to live in Thyatira. And why Mark Gray, his last name was Gray, it should have been purple, because he loves purple. We ought to rename him and take him a new birth certificate to camp this year. Amen. But she was a seller of this purple. And she has come here, and whether she's a Jew or a proselyte, we do not know. But this we do know. She was faithful to the custom of prayer one with another. And what did God do with that? He used that as an appointment to meet with a man named Paul. As a result of that meeting, she gets saved. I marvel at how God brings things about. And the things that just seem by chance, but they're not by chance. In the providence of God, how He brings things together. You know, this year I was so captivated as I thought about Mary. And here she is, pregnant with child, traveling, most likely walking. Many of the pictures show her on a donkey. If you've ever ridden a donkey, maybe you'd rather walk. I'm not sure which would be better. But she's got to travel some 80 miles. She gets to Bethlehem on the night she is going to bear a child. Now think about that. She's on the road for 2 or 3 days. And this is the last days of pregnancy. And she gets here at this place at this time because of the decree of Caesar. And why is all of that? Because God said to Micah several hundred years previous to that, that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. That was the city He had picked out for the Savior. And so God manipulates an entire nation, manipulates the most powerful man upon the face of the earth, that this woman and this man could have Jesus in that place on that night, that He would be born in the city of Bethlehem. If God can do that, God can do anything. Amen. And so God manipulates circumstances. What this woman needed was a voice. What she needed was somebody to teach her more fully. And so God brings to this prayer meeting these men, and Paul begins to speak. And as he speaks, we find that this woman gets saved. And she gets saved because we find here something very wonderful about her. Notice in verse number 14, we find that she heard us and then says, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, what do you suppose brought about an open heart? I said tonight as we prayed together, I heard many of our workers that work with young people on Wednesday night, some on Sunday morning, and I heard them praying and lifting up specific names. I heard what sounded like weeping in the voice. I heard different remarks being made. Some of those, concerns about those young people, and asking God to do something in their life. I remember one boy in particular, and I forgot the name, but I think two people praying for the same boy, as he evidently is on some of these mind-altering drugs that doctors give to kids nowadays. What a sham that is. What a shame it is, quite frankly. And here's a boy that because somebody needs to just give him a quick, swift kick in the rear end when he gets misbehaving, rather than sticking a pill down his throat, has caused him really some great distress. But I thank God for people who are willing to give time and seek to win him to Christ and to show him the right direction. I heard that on other little kids and some that were brand new today and just some heartfelt things that were said tonight. Asking God to move in those hearts. I heard the same thing concerning some adults. I heard folks asking for some loved ones, that God might open their hearts. How does that come about? As we seek God, He is the one who opens hearts. He is the one who tenderizes. Listen, some of the people that you know, they are the hard ground. They are, some of them, they're the rock under the little bit of soil. Some of them have a lot of rocks and thorns in that soil. But our God is the one who's able to clean that mess up, that they can have some fertile soil, that the seed can be planted. How's that come about? That comes about through a labor called prayer. And as you and I gather ourselves together, one with another, and ask God to move and to bless, oh my goodness, that is a wonderful thing that we can see take place. And so we see this happening here. Why does it not happen in our lives sometimes? Because we're too intent upon not involving ourselves, not giving ourselves to that sort of thing. Why, it would inconvenience us. It would mean a little less time doing something else. It might take away some moments of pleasure in our lives. But oh, can you imagine the pleasure of a life that's been saved because we gave up a little bit, that they might spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? My goodness, what can take place? Here's a woman went to a prayer meeting, and as a result of that, God opened her heart. God did something. I've seen during prayer meetings, hearts get opened and some things begin to heal. And God marvelously work in those lives. What a blessing it is. As a result, there was a great attendance on her part to listen to the spoken word of God. It says she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I want to tell you something else I've noticed as we've met together for prayer. And I wonder what it would be like if we were really all involved in this thing. But I have noticed that there is a greater attendance to the speaking of the Word of God than I noticed in years gone by. I've seen that. Some of you don't know this, but on Wednesday nights, we have there's been somewhere between 10 and 25 young people who've come into this room. They're 7th grade and up, and they come off the bus. Most of them come down from the Manawal area. I'm sure that Lance and Alita have almost lost their hair a few times, merely just pulling it out, because they can be ornery at moments. But they bring so many, they can't do too much wrong because they're packed like sardines in there. And they come in here. And we've had a few little problems, but you know, by and large, most of these kids sit and listen. Last Wednesday night, I had to deal with two because they were misbehaving. And one of them I talked to after the service. God was beginning to work in her heart. Later on, as I sat down out in the lobby across the way, and the kids came out of the time of games, there was another young man and his buddy walked up to me. And really kind of a big kid. I don't remember his name. I'm not sure I know his name, but he came up to me and he says, "Pastor, I want to thank you for tonight's message." He says, "I need God so much in my life." And he says, "I'm going through some things now and I need Him desperately." I said, "Son, are you saved?" And he said, "Yeah, I know the Lord is my Savior. And I need Him so much." And he was so thankful for a people who cared about him. What's happening? God opens hearts. God's in that kind of business. Amen. That's taking place. I've heard our teachers. I've heard some of our folks. They've come and they've said, "Man, God is doing this. God is doing that. And God is working marvelously." God wants to work through us. God wants to work in us. And how we need to meet with Him. How'd this come about? Because they got together for prayer. I read verse 16. "Came to pass as we went to prayer." They were headed to a prayer meeting. And there met them this one who was possessed. Through that particular situation, we would say, boy, prayer was not answered. They end up in jail. But here we find Paul and Silas in the night singing. And as they're singing at midnight, an earthquake comes. And when the earthquake comes, the prison doors are opened. The prisoners, they're free to go. But somehow, under the spell of God, they stay put. The jailer, about to shove the sword through his own heart, because he's responsible, and he would be put to utter humiliation. Finds out they're still there. And he falls down in front of Paul, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I wonder, if they weren't going to the prayer meeting, what would have happened? I wonder what would have happened if Paul goes to Europe and doesn't go to the prayer meeting. We might have had a different scenario. But they met with the people who were about to pray and spoke to them, and God blessed. And the first two converts on European soil are made. And the gospel heads on throughout Europe. It finally ends up in England. And you know the story, but how it then came across through the pilgrims to America. And you and I today have enjoyed the preaching of the gospel and the revivals in our United States because of those people. We look here tonight and we see a story. What would have been different? Oh, how we need to be involved in prayer. And notice one last thing. She had a great testimony. It says, and when she was baptized in her household, she wasn't the only one who got saved. They were close to a river, amen? She got baptized, and those in her household, and she said, if you have found me to be faithful, come to my house. She desires to be a blessing to those who bore the message. She wanted to help them go even further than they've gone already. What a blessing it is to read of this story of a prayer meeting on European soil. And as a result, this lady gets saved. You know why we don't see a lot of things? We're not willing to give ourselves one with another in matter of prayer. We're not willing to allow Him to use us in that kind of manner. We say we got better things to do. What is better than Lydia getting saved? Seriously. Lord God, tonight, work in our hearts. Oh God, may we see the beauty, the wonder of being able to pray one with another. Lord, how tremendous tonight as we sang one with another, song after song, our hearts are lifted. But, oh God, earlier how wonderful it was to hear hearts lifted to You, seeking You and asking You to work. Oh God, without You we're nothing. As we come in prayer, we come because we realize we're needy. We know that of ourselves we have not the ability. It wipes away all the pride and the arrogancy. Because we recognize that it's all about You. Oh God, so often in our lives we've just ignored this because we thought we could do it ourselves. Forgive us. I pray You work in hearts tonight. I pray You help us to see how vitally important it is as we gather one with another, not only for praise, not only for preaching, but also to pray. What blessed, wonderful, special times those are. Work in our hearts tonight. Do that which only You can do, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Once again, I want to ask you to stand where you're at. Mindy's at the piano as she plays.